Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
Hello, and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite unsolved mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. Who knows, we might even solve the case. I am Allie Seaskull.
I am Mel Witcha Stetton.
That's a good one.
What about you, Maria?
Maria?
And is there one for me?
Nope, you have to make it up on the spot.
Scaria
Blaspooky. There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
That's
the
perfect.
Producer.
Webcrawlers has a Patreon. To get access to rewards, bonus episodes, shout outs, merch discounts, please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become one of our bimbo patrons. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, we will read it on our mailbag episodes. And also, please call our hotline, insert jingle here.
626-604-6262.
And we will play your voicemails on our mailbag episodes as well. Melissa, who are our patrons?
We've got Grace, Amanda, Jay, Boots, Maria D, Damon, Keegan, Gigi, and Shay. Welcome.
I bet Maria D is Maria's demon.
Sounds like it.
Glad that she finally decided to join.
Yeah.
So we have another Spooktober episode today, and this is, we've been interested in this case for a while because we're all fascinated by cannibalism.
Especially Maria.
Yummy.
And this case is so, we're going to discuss two, but our first case is so disgusting. Make sure that you're not eating while you're listening to this.
Make sure you're not eating human flesh, especially.
Yeah, because we get into some gross stuff. Melissa, what is our episode today?
Today we're talking about Issei Sagawa. Is it Issei? Is that how you pronounce his name?
I think it's
Issei. Issei Sagawa, a.k.a. the Kobe Cannibal. He's a Japanese murderer, cannibal, and necrophile.
That means he fucks dead people.
He murdered his friend and ate her remains, but he's not in jail. And he's also profited from his crimes by writing about them, being guests on TV shows, making art, and even doing porn. So how does his fascination with cannibalism start? And he's still alive, so what's he up to now?
Yeah, some fucked up shit.
Also, we're going to discuss the Cannibal Cop.
Yeah, from the HBO documentary, yes. Cannibal Cop Thought Crimes, who was a cop who was interested in cannibalism.
Yeah.
Anyways,
let's get into it.
On June 11th, 1981, Issei Sagawa committed one of the most notorious individual crimes of the last 20 years.
It was an arrest that stunned the nation. A New York City police officer taken into custody after sharing disgusting fantasies about murdering his wife and then cannibalizing her.
Okay, so Issei's childhood. He was born on April 26th, 1949, in Kobe, Japan, to pretty wealthy parents. But he was born premature and he developed enteritis, which is like an intestinal disease, but he ultimately recovered from it. And he was only 4'9". And he says his small stature, as well as being born prematurely, actually fueled his obsession with cannibalism. And so he began fantasizing about human flesh when he was a child. He had a dream that he and his brother were being boiled in a pot to be eaten. And after that, he would fantasize about eating human meat. And in first grade, he saw the thigh of a schoolmate and said, quote, "I saw the quivering meat of a male classmate's thigh, and I suddenly thought, that looks delicious." He also fantasized about having sex with his dog.
He did. No, he didn't fantasize about it. He did. He did.
No.
It gets worse. I know.
So for him, sex was taboo as a kid. And his first erection, he thought he was sick and he was super embarrassed. And he didn't know how to masturbate. So he did weird things like making his dog lick him.
Yeah.
And this was the beginning of his sexual
distortion. For me, that's almost like worse than the cannibalism. Like, leave your dog alone.
Yeah.
Leave
your dogs alone. And he dreamt of tasting the flesh of women who he would see on the street. Mostly Western women.
Yeah, he had a thing for blondes.
Yeah, he did.
Blonde Westerners, yeah.
Well, sorry.
I thought you meant like Western women. I thought you meant like
cowboys.
Girls.
Like facing west?
No, like cowgirls.
Oh. I like how we all took that in like a different way. Like, I thought they were just facing the Western direction.
I thought they were like girls in fringe with cowboy hats on.
Yeah. Wearing teal
and
barbecue.
A woman that was dressed like a cowboy would probably taste better because.
Oh, for sure.
Well, because like they're around more.
I feel like they just taste like barbecue naturally.
Yes, exactly.
They're on all that smoked meat.
Yeah, they just be pre-smoked. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you guys ever wish you had just like a piece of leather to chew on?
Well, I love beef jerky. Whenever I go on road trips, I get beef jerky. Oh, I just love non.
It's the best. I know, but sometimes.
Okay, no, but Maria wants to chew on leather.
No, but what I'm saying is it's like there's like some dog toys, you know, like those rubbery dog toys that I wish I could just like I wish they made those for humans. And you could just sit and gnaw on them.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Like chewing.
I don't have that urge. You know that's a disorder where you want to chew. You want to chew on like glass and like eat dirt and rocks.
Glass. I didn't say glass. I said a nice rubbery dog toy.
Maria, you're gonna get. I'm so glad we don't have a PO box because you're gonna get some weird fetishy shit.
It's just about gnawing. It's like beef jerky.
I get it. I know what you mean.
Now I'm envisioning you and Craig do weird sex shit. Can we keep going?
Maria has a pacifier. She's a little baby.
Are you an adult baby?
I want a block of leather that I could just chew on non as I watch TV.
Okay. Well, maybe we can make that happen.
We'll add it to the web crawler store. A block of leather. Maria's block of leather.
Maria's block of TV leather.
Whatever. You guys don't get it.
I get it. I told you
Melissa
I get it.
Melissa gets it. You'll get it one day, Allie.
Yeah, I guess. I'll wait for that moment. I'll report back.
Anyway, back to Issei Sagawa.
Back to cannibalism.
So he never acted on his urges until college. And when he was 24, he spotted a tall blonde woman in Tokyo. And he said, quote, "When I saw this woman, I wondered if I could eat her." Cool. And then he followed her home. Then he climbed into her apartment and went into her bedroom. And she was sleeping, and he was looking around for something he could use to cut off a piece of her flesh. But then she woke up and noticed and screamed, and he ran out.
Thank God.
Yeah, and he was actually arrested and charged with attempted rape. But it's unclear if he ever served jail time for this. There's no record of it.
And also, like, in the Vice documentary, he's like, yeah, I got charged with attempted rape. But then they don't really talk about any time served or anything. It's really bizarre.
And then he said, in reference to his childhood, he said, maybe it's because I come from another planet or another dimension and I accidentally fell to Earth like a meteorite, disguised as a baby crying in the street. I must have come from a place of cannibals.
Or you're just like a sick fuck weirdo. Yeah. So he started seeing a psychiatrist to confess his desires, and the psychiatrist thought he was a danger to society and categorized him as highly dangerous. But Sagawa's father, who was a wealthy man, constructed a cover-up and sent Sagawa to a school overseas.
Yeah.
And this is when things become really problematic.
Yeah.
In 1981, he was studying at the Sorbonne in Paris. He would bring sex workers home almost every night, and he wanted to shoot them, but he said, my fingers would freeze up every time I tried to pull the trigger.
So weird.
He eventually spotted another tall blonde woman that he became obsessed with. She was a 25-year-old Dutch student named Renee. She was beautiful and spoke three languages and was getting her PhD in French literature. Sagawa devised a plan to get closer to her. Since his dad was wealthy, he asked him for money to hire Renee as his private tutor. Over time, they became friends. Sagawa would take her to art exhibits and invite her over for dinner. After she left his place one night, he smelled and licked the chair she sat in.
Ew.
Yeah. That was when he decided he wanted to eat her so he could possess her forever.
Yeah.
I guess Jeffrey Dahmer said that about cannibalism, too, that it's like a possession thing.
Yeah.
One night, Sagawa invited Renee over again and gave her a German poem to read under the false pretense that he wanted to record her reading in fluent German for school. He made tea for them, but put whiskey in hers. He made romantic advances at her, but she told him she just wanted to stay friends because she wasn't into him like that, probably because he's a 4'9" cannibal. He then took out a gun and shot her in the back of the neck. Ugh. He actually fainted after shooting her, and when he woke up, he thought about calling an ambulance, but obviously didn't.
Yeah.
And also, he's quoted as saying, maybe if we'd had dinner once more, I wouldn't have eaten her.
What?
So, like, if they had kept dating, he wouldn't have eaten her. Like, what does that even mean? He decided he wanted to eat her, obviously. And it's so weird. I posted something about this on our Instagram. He wanted to eat her ass first. And he says this multiple times in his cannibalism rituals, that he likes to start with the ass because he thinks it looks delicious. But he likes to start with the right cheek as opposed to the left because it's farther from the heart. Produces less blood when you cut into it, because he's allegedly afraid of blood.
What?
Which is weird for a murderer cannibal to be afraid of blood.
What's he think is going to do to him?
I don't know. I guess it just makes him squeamish. But I mean,
that's what makes
this
him,
whole event would make me squeamish.
That's like if you were writing a cannibal character and like his, like the flaw, it's like, it's like you're supposed
like blood.
To. Yeah, I'm a cannibal, but I don't like blood. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
No.
Nothing about this makes sense, especially you gnawing on leather while you watch TV.
All of this makes perfect sense. All of it.
This whole episode is nonsense. He also didn't realize that there would be fat. He thought, like, he would just cut into a body and it would just be, like, meat and muscle. So, like, this is what's so gross. So he just realizes that, like, he needs more than a knife. Anyways, Melissa,
he sounds
take
like
it from
an
there.
Idiot. Like, this is like, this
really
is like the most,
like, read a
idiotic.
Book.
Yeah,
read
seriously.
An anatomy book, dude. How'd he get into the Sorbonne if he was, anyway?
He's a rich daddy.
Oh, yeah, rich daddy. So then he decided to eat Renee after killing her. And he got a knife and he cut off the tip of her left breast and the tip of her nose and ate them. He said it melted
the
in
the nose
his...
does not sound like a
no,
good
like that's
okay
that's I, all cartilage
no but I think I could make
oh
a...
no
well that would be like your leather block.
Maria's gonna make a case for it.
It feels like your block of leather to chew on, I bet, you know.
Okay, no, okay, I feel like because it's all cartilage or whatever, and because I feel like if you cut off slivers of the nose and maybe you, and this is gonna be gross, I know, but it's the episode, but and then if you fried it up, I bet it would taste like really crispy and nice.
Oh. Like a pork rind?
Oh. Yeah, I'm sure you could fry it up like really nice like that. It would look like calamari.
Oh, calamari.
This is one of like your pressure cooker episodes where like you're just doing cannibalism pressure cooker meals.
No, I would never pressure cook human flesh.
Yeah, that's ever. You got
to sous vide. I'd only deep fry it. Yeah, honest sous-vide. To God, I could only eat human flesh if I deep fried it.
That makes sense. Or yeah, pan fry. I'm on board for that.
I could pan fry human flesh.
Okay.
Easy.
So anyway.
There's a quote right there.
I could pan fry human flesh. Easy.
Maria.
No, it wouldn't smell good because when you burn yourself, it smells horrible. So like there's no way human flesh smells good being cooked.
Well, skin no, smells bad. I wonder if the... Anyway.
The meat? Well, okay. Maybe...
This is the grossest episode I've ever heard.
So Sagawa said it melted in my mouth like raw tuna in a sushi restaurant.
Ew.
Ew. That's definitely not true. I don't believe that.
I don't know. Have There's you ever no had way. Kobe beef, like raw Kobe beef in a sushi restaurant? It is delicious and it melts in your mouth.
So gross.
You want to hear something funny? It's kind of off topic. But yes. There was this one time a long time ago where Amanda Lund and I were brought in because they were doing a new Punk'd. They were like doing Punk'd 2.0.
Oh, wow.
And so they needed like writers to come on and like think of episode ideas. But we didn't get hired. We had to come in and just like give some ideas to see if they wanted to hire us. And neither of us got hired. But a couple were pretty funny. And one of mine was, it was for Katy Perry specifically.
Uh-oh.
And it was she goes to a restaurant, it's like this really fancy restaurant with her friends, and they eat this wonderful meal, it's like the most delicious food, and then the chef comes out and the chef is Katie, we'd love to, or someone that works at the restaurant, the chef would love to meet you, he'd like you to come back and just see the kitchen. And so she would be brought back into the kitchen, and then there would be in the kitchen all these kittens in cages.
Oh my, that is sick.
And but they'd like run her past it, they'd be like, oh no, don't worry about it, but like she'd catch a glimpse of the kitchen and it would just be like that she had just
that is
they were serving kitten.
No wonder you didn't get hired.
I thought it was really funny.
Jesus,
I thought that would have just
I think that's so funny.
Oh, well, they told
Justin Timberlake they sold his house. Why can't they show Katy Perry? She just ate a kitten.
I think that's amazing. And I think that's so good.
I remember it was me or Amanda's idea, but it was that someone unveiled... like someone went to a wax museum because they were unveiling their wax statue. And when they unveiled it, it was just this horrific mess. Like a melting wax statue.
That's
it was just
really funny.
That's too realistic, though. I feel like that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't get hired, and what can I say?
Well, they'll rue the day. Show didn't get picked up, probably, so there we
go. No, I think they did a very successful season.
Oh, well, wrong again.
Okay, where was I? It melted in my mouth like raw tuna in a sushi restaurant.
Where was I?
He tried to eat different parts of her body by biting into it, but it was too tough. Yeah. So he got an electric cutting knife and chopped her up. He fried some of it and ate it with mustard.
No, that's a bad condiment
mustard.
For human meat.
You would think like oregano or like...
Oregano? Yeah. Melissa!
Rosemary! Salt, pepper.
Rosemary is better. Do you ever wonder what it could taste like for real, though?
Maria, I'm actually scared of you this episode.
It has never crossed my mind what human flesh tastes like.
No, I'm not. It never crosses my mind either. But you do think to yourself, like, I wonder what it does taste like. I would never try it, but I wonder what it does taste like.
It probably tastes like chicken. That's what they always say. Everything tastes like chicken.
Well, they say it tastes more gamey. It would taste more like a venison or something.
Like duck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a duck or like a buffalo or
like
a venison.
Lamb?
Venison's more like I could see venison
earthy taste
anyway. And then he had sex with the body.
Do you want to weigh in on that, Maria? Does that sound normal to you?
None of it sounds normal. Now you're putting me in this category because I said I wanted a dog toy to chew on while I watched television, and then I asked the hypothetical question, what might human flesh taste like, and all of a sudden
that's
I'm a
the
creep.
Gateway. It starts with a dog toy. and then he slept with the body in his bed.
Ew.
The next day he chopped off her lips. Then he chopped the rest of her body into pieces so he could get rid of it. And he actually kept a few strips to save for later. He says that when he held her decapitated head, that's when he realized, I am a cannibal. His plan was to dispose of her in a lake, and he put the leftover pieces of Renee's body into a suitcase, and he hailed a cab, and the driver helped him put the suitcase in the car and asked, what do you got, a body in here?
That's stupid.
And when he got to the park, people began to stare at Sagawa struggling with his heavy bloody suitcase. And he got spooked, and he decided just to leave the suitcase on the ground. And then some random people saw the suitcase and opened it, and the police were called, and they eventually tracked him down. And that's, like, I've heard different accounts of that happening, what he did with the body, but that's the most common one.
Well, because then there's another account of him, like, being in an airport or something, like, a body in his bag.
There's a couple different stories of what really happened, so it's like...
I heard another story, because also, he's now, we'll speak to this later, but he's now profiting off the story of him being a cannibal, so
right.
I think a lot of this now is him retelling kind of, like, lore of what he did. But I heard another story, I think, about... He was traveling. He had killed someone while traveling and then put the body in a bag. And then while going through TSA, like,
this
doesn't seem like it'd be true. They opened the bag and they were like, whose dead body is this? And he was like, not mine. And then left. But that sounds pretty improbable.
Yeah, who knows? So then the French police arrived at Sagawa's apartment 2 days later with a search warrant, and they found pieces of Renee in the freezer. And he didn't even attempt to deny what he had done. He said to the police, I killed her to eat her flesh, and they arrested him. And then when Sagawa went to trial, the details that he began to relay about his crime were so descriptive and indecent that the judge decided he wasn't competent to stand trial. And so as a result, he was sent to Paul Girard Asylum.
The Gérard Depardieu.
Gérard Depardieu. So anyway, three psychiatrists who evaluated him said he'd never be cured. And once again, his wealthy father, Akira Sagawa, enabled his son's actions. So Akira worked out a deal with French authorities to have Sagawa transferred to a psychiatric hospital in Japan. Mm. And so the superintendent of that hospital thought Issei should be in prison. But his dad had some leverage, so after only 15 months, Sagawa was released.
The fuck, dude?
And so it was reported that the French court didn't want to pay for him to be in the psychiatric hospital because he wasn't their citizen. So that's why they sent him back to Japan. And so Japanese authorities were unable to press any charges without the criminal paperwork from his crime's country of origin. So they didn't get any of the paperwork from France. So he was set free... in August of 1985, only 5 years after he murdered Renee.
My God.
And so he said his only regret in committing this crime is, quote, what I truly wished was to eat her living flesh. Nobody believes me, but my ultimate intention was to eat her, not necessarily to kill her.
Imagine being eaten alive like that. What?
Yeah,
that's
what?
Crazy.
No.
Thank you. Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So then he has kind of risen to fame and notoriety. Like there's a documentary called Caniba on him. There's a Vice documentary on him. He not only walks the streets free today, but he makes money off of recounting his crimes and talking about his cannibalistic condition. He was hired to write columns for magazines. He wrote several novels. He has appeared on TV talk shows and even a cooking show where he cooked and ate different meat dishes.
Wait, why is he walking around free?
Because he served, I think, 15 months in prison in France, and then his dad somehow had leverage over something. They sent him back to Japan. They didn't have the paperwork, and so they couldn't convict him. It was all these like weird loopholes and like paperwork confusion, and France was like, we don't want to deal with this guy. Send him back to Japan. And it's all just like,
Jesus.
Crazy. So he was paid $20,000 to write an article about his crimes to some weird magazine in Japan. And then this led to book deals. Mm-hmm. And his initial book about his crimes has really graphic images about from his killing. Yeah. And then a publisher who makes Lolita Manga, which appears to be, and I'm sure listeners will know better, is kind of like erotica anime, makes comics about his cannibalism. And those are really popular. And he also paints portraits of women that he sells. So he's an artist.
Oh, yeah. Is it nude photos, I think?
No, I think he paints faces. Like he paints beautiful faces of women that he finds to be beautiful.
Crazy.
It's so weird. He also does porn, because why not?
Yeah.
He was hired to do porn. They show it in this documentary that he hires a woman to spend 24 hours with him.
Right.
And she has to have sex with him 3 times. And then he tells her at the end of the 24 hours that he's a cannibal. And he makes her look at all the pictures of
they didn't tell her.
Of Renee. Yeah, they don't tell her. And you can see after the 24 hours, he sits her down and he's like, oh, I'm actually a cannibal. Like, I've killed someone. I've been to jail. Here are the pictures of her dismembered body.
Yeah, he took pictures of Renee.
Yeah. And this poor sex worker is so scared.
Yeah.
And so frightened and just like, oh my God, I've just spent 24 hours and had sex 3 times with a fucking cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, is this true? Like, I'm in total disbelief. And then she leaves, and then it shows a clip of her like crying in the car, just being like, I'm very overwhelmed. So he did a lot of weird, depraved shit. There's also a video where he reenacts Little Red Riding Hood with a girl and he plays the wolf.
No.
Which is also weird. He was even granted a passport so he could go travel. He could go to Germany.
Yeah.
And then in this Vice documentary, he's still interested in women. He loves women. Like we talked about in college that he would pay for sex workers routinely. Yeah. So now what he does, or not now, but, you know, after he got out of jail.
71 now, I think.
Yeah. And then there, that's a whole other ball game. What's going on with him now. But he would meet women, like Western women, and then pay to travel with them around the world. So he met these two women, this woman Rhonda and her friend Talia, who were two blonde models, and he would pay to go on vacations with them. So we took them to like Thailand and like France and all over the world, and they would travel together and like do drugs. And he said that this girl Rhonda and Talia, that they never had sex with him, that it was never a romantic thing. He never obviously killed them or ate them or anything like that, but he started using his family money to like to basically like be kind of like a sugar daddy for women and like spend time with them. And he would take weird pictures of them, like naked pictures and stuff like that.
Who would
kind of like
it's in wild
exchange
that like these women would trust, be like, yeah, let's go fucking Thailand with this cannibal guy. Free vacation.
And it's unclear. Yeah, it seems like these girls did not know that he was a cannibal.
Oh.
Although if I was traveling with someone, I would probably research
Give it a Google.
Yeah, I would give him a Google.
That's wild.
That's his new like, or maybe they thought it was cool. I don't know. Like,
because he has
a weird amount of fame now.
That girl was the old Renee was the only person he ate, well, as far as we know.
Yeah, the other stuff was just weird fantasizing and him openly being like, I love and want to do this. Yeah.
So he said that he still dreams of consuming humans. And he did an interview with Vice that you can find on YouTube. And he said, just today, I saw a girl with a really nice derriere on my way to the train station. When I see things like that, I think about wanting to eat someone again before I die. So yes, I do still harbor these desires, and I specifically want to eat a Japanese woman this time.
Switching it up.
He describes his plans on how he would consume human flesh again. He says, I think either sukiyaki or shabu shabu, which is lightly boiled thin slices, is the best way to go.
I love shabu shabu.
Maria, what do you think of that?
Oh, okay, I love
you
shabu
like it.
Shabu.
Good. I was going to
no,
ask.
No, I'm not.
Maria
saying,
approved.
No, I'm saying I love shabu shabu.
I do too. It's good.
Have you had it, Allie? You'd like it if you haven't had it.
I haven't had it.
Well, I think once this quarantine is over, we should all go get shabu shabu because it's a fun, group experience.
It is.
Human or animal?
Animal or vegetable.
Okay,
oh, yeah,
cool.
Vegetable. So we said that's the best way to go in order to really savor the natural flavor of the meat.
Ugh.
And he also said that he wants to be torn apart alive by beautiful women.
That's another thing we'll get into in a second, is he is this weird, now he does this weird BDSM, S&M shit to himself,
oh,
and it's
really?
Just fucking weird. No kink shaming,
to
but
this day,
anything
well.
He does is weird.
And to this day, he wishes he could convince people that cannibalism isn't such an abominable thing.
Bro,
no.
Well, it is if you're killing someone.
Yeah.
I bet he could find someone on Craigslist that was like, yeah, you can have a finger.
I'm sure you could find anything on Craigslist.
Well, yeah. Where do you find that finger that was in the Wendy's chili?
No, that was a lie.
That was a finger.
There was a finger? I thought that was a lie.
Have you heard? It's a whole story. It's fascinating. It's a finger, and it was someone who like borrowed a finger.
That's right.
They owed someone money. It was like, we should do a little mini episode about that because it is a wild ride. Yeah. Anyway, so Issei Sagawa, he wrote at least 5 books where he put in photos from his crime, and he has a graphic novel. And then multiple bands have written songs referring to Issei Sagawa. The Rolling Stones wrote a song called Too Much Blood. I've never heard this song.
Me either. Should we find it?
Yeah. It's like a horror movie music video.
Yeah.
Okay, let's fast forward. Ooh, this is nice. That's fun.
It says here, I have the lyrics. It says, a friend of mine was this Japanese who had a girlfriend in Paris. He had to date her for 6 months, and eventually she said yes. You know, he took her to his apartment, cut off her head, put the rest of her body in the refrigerator, ate her piece by piece, put her in the refrigerator, put her in the freezer. And when he ate her, he took her bones to the Bois de Boulogne. By chance, a taxi driver noticed him burying the bones. You don't believe me. Truth is stranger than fiction. We drive through it every day.
That's crazy. I didn't realize they had a whole song about that. That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, what a specific piece of inspiration to write a song about.
That's so bizarre.
It's a good Halloween song, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, you should add that to your mix.
Yeah, that's your playlist along with...
I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I got no privacy.
Whoa. Let's see. So, Canaba was the documentary. He was also featured in the UK documentary Excuse Me for Living. That's a funny title.
That is a great title.
Many people attending the screening at the Venice Film Festival in 2017.
That's funny. That's funny to imagine him saying that after he kills and eats a person.
Well,
excuse me for living.
That's a sick burn. So yeah, people walked out of that screening apparently. And then in 2005, his parents died, and he was prevented from attending their funerals. And I guess they died in the same year. I couldn't really find any info on that. I thought it was weird that they died. I don't know if they died the same day or like, but he wasn't allowed to go to the funeral. And as of 2019, he had gastrointestinal surgery and is under full-time care of his brother. And he apparently can't eat and he's fed through a tube in his stomach.
That's like his prison now, probably. I wonder what I actually don't want to know.
And what is the stuff that he does? This S&M stuff.
Oh my God. So if you watch Canaba at the, by the way, Canaba is like, it was recommended to me by a friend and it's a very art house documentary. Like it's very slow, very close up onto Sagawa's face. And like, it's very intense. But at the end it shows, Sagawa, it seems is pretty incapacitated now. Like, I don't know if he's in a wheelchair or just like can only sit. I'm not quite sure. But so he still has all these weird sexual fantasies, and it appears that his brother like placates them. Like, what? So Sagawa's into pain and S&M and BDSM. So you can't really tell, but it's either Sagawa or his brother is doing it to him. But he'll stab himself with scissors for pleasure, and then he'll also tie himself up with barbed wire. For like sexual pleasure, like he and his brother do weird BDSM S&M stuff together.
That's wild.
So that Sagawa can like get off, so he doesn't like.
Yeah, because he's got to eat someone in order to like feel anything.
Yeah, like he probably has some serious like serotonin disorder where he just can't feel. Yeah. Like he probably just needs. I don't know. Jeez. It's really crazy.
So anyway.
Yeah. So that's Issei Sagawa, who, you know, like went to jail for a year and then got out and is still
just roaming the streets.
Thinking about eating women and doesn't think that what he does is wrong. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And has just made a profit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll keep this one short, but there's also this documentary called Cannibal Cop Thought Crimes, which was on HBO, I think, a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's about this guy, Gilberto Valle. He was born April 14th, 1984, who was a former New York City police officer. And he was arrested after his wife discovered he was spending time on internet chat rooms describing like chatting with other people detailed plans to abduct, torture, rape, and cannibalize women. Ugh. And he claimed that all the scenarios were just fantasies and that it was a fantasy chat room and that none of it was true. But it kind of brought up this idea of thought crimes, right, and thought policing, and what's the line between fantasy and reality, and when can you prosecute in between then. Mm-hmm. So he was on the website darkfetish.net, a forum dedicated to sexual fetishes and fantasies involving torture, rape, murder, and cannibalism. Which I feel like maybe should not be a website that's allowed. I don't know.
Sure.
But I guess that gets into like First Amendment stuff where, right. I don't know. Or is it Second Amendment? What's the one where you're allowed to talk?
It should be allowed, Amendment. But like anyone that goes on it shouldn't be allowed out of the house.
Right.
Yes. Well, they're probably don't leave the house anyways. Right. Yeah. He had been chatting with another user about torturing and murdering his wife, as well as murdering and cannibalizing more than 100 other women. Meanwhile, keep in mind, this guy is a fucking cop.
Yeah, he's an NYPD cop.
One day, his wife, who was growing suspicious of his weird ass behavior, looked at his computer and saw that he had been writing in chat rooms under the name Girl Meat Hunter.
Girl Meat Hunter.
That's so gross. And that he, but like a 13-year-old boy, you know, yeah. Like that's he should just be embarrassed.
Girl Meat Hunter, and that he, 22.
Yeah. And that he had searched for terms such as how to abduct a girl and how to chloroform a girl.
If you don't know, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Totally. That stuff should just be.
It should be in you. If you have to look it up, then you don't. Then it's not for you, dude.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're spitting some real words of wisdom this episode, Maria.
Well, it's like, what would even be how to abduct a girl? It's like, you abduct her.
Yeah, it's just in you.
It's in you. It's in you. There should just be a mirror.
You would, oh my God, what you
if
would you, know.
What if you went on a website and it was just a mirror and it was your face?
Wow.
Huh. That's okay. So anyway, this cop was arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit kidnapping. He faced a maximum of life in prison, and his wife testified against him. But he claimed it was all fantasy.
Also, like, similar to Sagawa's family, like, his mom stood by him. His mom and dad were like, our son just is a little confused right now.
He's confused. Like,
they thought he was fine.
Yeah. So he was found guilty in March of 2013 of conspiracy to kidnap. And then the judge overturned his verdict 16 months later, saying that the evidence supported that he was engaged in only fantasy role play. So he was sentenced to time served and released on December in 2015, but the prosecution's appeal could still go to the Supreme Court as of now.
The issue here, though, is that he used... So one of the people who he was talking about on his like stupid little chat rooms with his stupid little torture friends was he was saying he was going to rape and abduct this girl he went to college with.
Oh.
And he used his police computer
to
find out where she lived.
Oh, see, that's so fucked.
Yeah, so that's where the distinction is. And that's what people are saying is, like, you can say that this is all fantasy, but once you use your police computer and use your professional resources to start, like, doing deep dives on people, that's when it's problematic.
That's not, that's fantasy. If, like, taking a step like that, like, seeing where that is weird.
Totally.
So he wrote a memoir called Raw Deal, The Untold Story of NYPD's Cannibal Cop, and it has 4.5 stars on Amazon. And
interesting.
He wrote a really violent horror novel that he hopes to make money from. It's called A Gathering of Evil, and he self-published it, I believe. It has 4 stars on Amazon. He works for a construction company currently. He has a daughter that he's not allowed to see.
Good.
He's on Twitter. He tweets a lot about the Yankees, just randomly.
Sick.
Tweeting about.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like I said, like the issue is that he used that. I mean, there's a lot of issues,
sure.
But it's scary that he used the NYPD computers to get info on the people he had said wanted to be his victims.
Yeah.
And he had 24 total chats going on this website.
Oh, wow.
And in 21 of them, he said that these were fantasies and these were make-believe. But in three of the chats, I guess he did not clarify that these were fantasy situations. So those are what he got prosecuted on.
Yeah.
Also, he traveled to Maryland once with his family to visit one of the supposed victims who he had talked about kidnapping. Like the girl he went to college with, he traveled to Maryland to actually see her, which is another thing where it's like, does that draw the line from fantasy to reality?
Oh, absolutely.
Actually visited
I think it
her.
Does.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. Another thing is Alan Dershowitz is interviewed. Talking about thought crimes.
Dershowitz.
And the difference. Talking about like policing people's thoughts.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And Alan Dershowitz is talking about like having like depraved, like the problem with having depraved thoughts. And I'm like, you definitely are
that's
fucking
real rich coming from you, Dershowitz.
Yeah. And then, yeah, totally. And then also, Cannibal Cop, he took pictures from real people in his life and shared them on the site, which also, in my opinion, takes it past fantasy,
like,
because
this
that's
is
non-consensual.
The girl that I want to do stuff to.
Yeah, so yeah, you're putting people up for risk of other people on the website who might not be taking this as fantasy, who might actually want to kill people.
Yeah.
So he also said on the website he'd be like, I'm going to kill the person in my basement and then murder her and then cook her in my big oven that I have in my basement. But then he also lived in an apartment complex that didn't have a basement. Like, the basement was just the group laundry room. So that was where they said, like, obviously this was a fantasy because he didn't have the resources to do it. So I don't know. It's just interesting, like, to think about, like, thought crimes and, you know, what should be persecuted and what shouldn't.
I was going to say, it feels like it was escalating for him. Like, the looking up the address, the going to visit the victim.
Yeah.
Like, the next step seems like it would have been actually doing this stuff.
Yeah, if not now, like maybe 2 years from now, you know, who knows? And like, frankly, I don't want my cops talking about eating people and killing them and like raping women. Like, I just think that that's not tight.
Prefer not.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my humble opinion. Anyways, a lot about cannibalism today.
We learned a lot about
hope
Maria
you enjoyed.
Today.
We learned a lot about, if anything, this has just been an episode on Maria's psyche.
Nothing wrong with wanting a little something to chew on.
That's what Sagawa said.
No, what was his melted in his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, like raw tuna. Melissa, if people want to research, if people want to reach us, where can they do so?
You can email us at webcrawlerspod@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at webcrawlerspod, and we got a Discord, and the links are all in our show notes for everything.
Hell yeah, baby. Anyways, I am Allie Vegetarian Siegel.
I am Melissa Melts in Your Mouth Stenton.
And I'm Maria Eat 'em Up Blasucci.
Oh God, chunk of leather in your mouth, Blasucci. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
An Elio's original.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.